Well, turn please in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Over the next 3 weeks, we'll just be having messages from different parts of the Scriptures. The Lord leads, and then, God willing, next school term we'll begin a new series of messages. But this evening, I want us to think of some words in Revelation 5 and the verse 9. Revelation 5 and the verse 9. And the saints in glory sung a new song, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, and people, and nation. Thou hast redeemed us to God. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. Let us look to the Lord for His help as we come and meditate upon the Lord's holy truth. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for the great testimony of the Christian. I am redeemed. And Lord, we pray that every believer in our gathering this evening will rejoice again in the great message of redemption. And we pray for any here that are still strangers to Thy grace, open their hearts to the gospel, we pray. And Lord, we do pray that there will be those that come to see that a price must be paid, but praise God, it has been paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Grant help, we pray, in our Lord's great name we ask. Amen. Amen. Redemption is one of those words that is frequently used by Christians. Certainly it's a word that's frequently used by preachers, and like any of these words, there's a danger in using it often that we assume that everyone understands what we are saying when we speak of redemption. And so what is redemption? What does it mean to be redeemed? The word redeemed relates to being set free. Set free. The word has the idea of release. Often it has the idea of restoration. Now we, of course, use redemption, that word, as a word describing an aspect of our salvation. But the word is used a number of ways in the Bible, and these various ways are pointing to the great truth of salvation. So in Scripture, land was said to be redeemed. And when land was redeemed, it is emphasizing this idea of land restored. And so, if a family lost land that belonged to them by right, perhaps on account of some financial situation, that land was to be restored. And one way of it being restored was through redemption, through the payment of a price. Another way in which this word redeemed is used in the Old Testament is in relation to someone that was in bondage, someone in slavery. Equally, it could be used of someone in prison. And the way for their release was through the payment of a price. So this word redemption has to do then with release, restoration, being set free. But then, as I've indicated in those words, there is a second aspect to it, and that is that the release comes through the payment of a price. And so, if we think of redemption only in terms of release, that is only part of the story. The other vital part is that it's through the payment of a price. Now this evening, I want us to think of these beautiful words in Revelation 5, verse 9, redeemed us to God. Redeemed us to God. And there is then acknowledged in those words that we, in our natural state, are cut off from God. As we are the sinful sons of Adam, we are cut off from fellowship. But through Christ, there is this redemption. He has paid a price in order that we would be restored, that we would be set free from the bondage, the enslavement of our Adamic nature brought then into this state of redemption. I'm sure Revelation 5 is a chapter that is familiar, at least in part, to you. At least some of the words in this chapter, I'm sure, are familiar to most of the Lord's people. And there is this great lamentation that there's no one found worthy to open the sealed book or to open the sealed scroll. The one who owns the book, the one who has the right to the book, is the one that must open it. And so there's this great lamentation, this great cry, who is worthy? Now this chapter is building upon a number of Old Testament passages. And so, like so much of the book of Revelation, it is drawing from language in the Old Testament. In the book of Daniel, it talks about the sealing up of the book. And so here, in contrast, there is the breaking of the seals. So in the book of Daniel, the sealing up, but in Revelation, Christ opens the seals, which includes the revelation of various events. But the image here is also relying upon the image that we have in the Old Testament about redemption. And that's why I read earlier from Jeremiah chapter 32. In Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah is exhorted to buy a field from his cousin, from his uncle's son. And he is qualified to purchase that field because he is a relative. He is a kinsman. And so then, as Jeremiah takes on this part of the kinsman and makes the purchase, he is what the Old Testament calls then the kinsman redeemer. The right of redemption is his on account of this relationship that he has to the present owner, this uncle's son. And he is unable to redeem the land. He is unable to make this purchase because of this relationship. Now, as he makes the purchase, it's emphasized in Jeremiah 32 that there was a record of the transaction. A record of the transaction. Jeremiah 32, verse 10. I subscribed the evidence. And this subscribing the evidence has the idea of it being recorded. I subscribed the evidence and sealed it, and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. And so I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And so I trust then you can see that when we come to Revelation chapter 5, it is building on this language of where there has been a purchase and there has been the sealing of the document. And who is worthy to open the seal? It is the one that has made the purchase. It is the one that is the kinsman redeemer. And so when we come to Revelation chapter 5 then, there has been this cry, no man is worthy. But then there is one who is worthy. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read then of the song about him, it's no mistake that in the song it says that he is the Redeemer. He has redeemed us to God. He is then this kinsman redeemer, worthy to open the seals. And so the scroll certainly does have to do with great events. But more than that, the scroll has to do with the inheritance of the earth. And certainly the chapters that follow as they describe the opening of the seals are difficult chapters. And there is certainly a focus there on the earth and various events. But what we are to see is that God is sovereign there over all of those events. God is in sovereign control of the earth, and ultimately the earth is the Lord's. As you think of the story of the Bible as a whole, it's the story of how God created man. And Adam then was to be the great inheritor of the earth. But he forfeited that right by sin. But the Lord then has raised up the kinsman redeemer. The Lord has raised up this second Adam. And so yes, Satan seeks to reign. But praise God, there has been a great price paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the scripture, part of this redemption story does relate to the earth itself. And so, for example, in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the earth being under the curse. But there is this great coming redemption day, a day when the earth is going to be set free. And even our bodies are going to be redeemed on that future day. So on the basis of the redemptive work of Christ, there is that great coming redemption for the earth itself. It is going to be released from the bondage that it is in now. And that is part of what is in view in this part of the book of Revelation. But redemption is also, and this is what we want to focus on this evening, redemption is the present possession of the Lord's people. Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. So there is that future aspect. We're waiting for a future day. But for the one who is a believer already, his soul has been redeemed. In Christ we have redemption through his blood. And there is the price then. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so then, when we have this song in verse 9, Revelation 5 verse 9, redeemed us to God, it is emphasizing there is a people who are redeemed. And so I'm not denying that there is an aspect in these chapters that relates to the earth, but what I'm focusing on this evening is what this text is focusing on, a people redeemed. A people redeemed to God. And I want us to see then, first of all, the prerogative of the Redeemer. When I say the prerogative, I mean the right of the Redeemer. For I've mentioned how in the Old Testament there was this individual that was referred to as the kinsman redeemer. And some of you that have read theological books may have come across this particular name. In the Hebrew it is Goel, G-O-E-L. And one of the requirements for the Goel, in fact it's actually the meaning of the word, one of the requirements was that he had to be related. So, if, for example, it's through some financial crisis you and your family had lost your land. The one who was to restore it, the Goel, must be a kinsman. He must be a relative. And so in the book of Ruth, we read of a Goel, that is Boaz. And in the book of Ruth, there certainly is a beautiful love story, the story that Boaz had for Ruth. But remember, in the book of Ruth, Naomi comes back to Bethlehem impoverished. And there is then the great story of redemption. For Boaz not only married Ruth, but he had to make a payment. There had to be the buying back of the land that had belonged to Naomi's husband, Elimelech. Now that story, the story of Ruth, Naomi and Boaz, it reveals a number of qualities of the Redeemer, this Goel. He had to be qualified. He had to be this close relative. He also had to have the ability to pay. So Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. He had the finance that was needed. And there also had to be a willingness. So if you remember in the story of Ruth, Boaz acknowledges that there's actually another man who's a closer relative. But he was not willing. He was not able to be the redeemer. But Boaz is the one that is qualified. And so we come to Revelation chapter 5, and there's this great cry, who is worthy? We could look at the question another way. Who is qualified to open the scroll? Who is qualified to break these seals? And none could be found until the Lamb was set forth, also the Lion. Verse 5, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And here then Christ is spoken of as both the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is also described then in the chapter, the next verse, as the Lamb. He is described as the root of David, which of course reminds us that Jesus Christ is not only the root, but he is also the shoot, the root and the offspring of David. Now, as we think of various details there, we're certainly brought to see that this one who is worthy is a man. He is spoken of as being of the tribe of Judah. So yes, he is the exalted Son of God. But in time he took flesh. He was born into the family of Judah. And so it reminds us of how in the genealogies in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke, it's emphasized, Jesus Christ was born into this line, the line of Judah, the line of David. In fact, Luke traces it right back to Adam. So as there is this cry, is there anyone worthy? Or as I've put it, is there anyone qualified? There then is this great song of relief. There is one who has the right to open the seal. Who is he? He's the kinsman. The kinsman redeemer. This is something that's emphasized in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 14. Hebrews 2 and the verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. And so we all have something in common, no matter where in the world we come from. We're human. We are partakers of flesh and blood. And so Christ He partook of that humanity. His humanity is real, so that he might die in that humanity. It explains there in verse 14. If you look then to verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. If Jesus Christ's humanity is not a true humanity, he could not be the Redeemer. He had to be the kinsman. And so in Romans 8 verse 29, Christ is spoken of as the firstborn among many brethren. And the title of firstborn there is emphasizing rank. Rank. He is the first. Or sometimes we say Christ is the elder brother. And so man is this problem. This problem of unworthiness. We're all sinners. And we look around and we say, could this one open the seals? Could this one be my Redeemer? And not one of us can redeem each other. None of us are worthy. But there is one who is qualified to be the kinsman redeemer. There is one who is qualified to set us free. There is one who is qualified to restore. And praise God, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come back to this in a moment or two, but I want you to notice there in verse 9, towards the end of the verse, it speaks of us being redeemed to God by the blood out of every kindred. Out of every kindred. Now, if you think of that for a moment, how can there be a people redeemed out of every kindred? There has to be a kinsman that is redeemed to every kindred. So the Bible doesn't talk about the races. There is one race, the human race. We are all sons of Adam. Now, there are certainly different people groups, as that verse goes on to describe, but one race. And Christ then is the kinsman of every people group. If there's one listening this evening, you're unconverted. There's no mere person in this meeting that's qualified to save you. But praise God, there's one in glory who is qualified. One who is worthy. So we see the prerogative, the right of the Redeemer. But then I want to see, secondly, the payment by the Redeemer. The payment by the Redeemer. In Revelation 5, verse 9, towards the middle of the verse, it says that this Lamb has redeemed us to God by thy blood. He has redeemed us by his blood. I mentioned earlier that there could be no redemption without a payment. There had to be the price paid. And again, some of you that read doctrinal books may have come across then that in order for there to be redemption, there had to be the ransom price, which the Greek New Testament calls the lutron. So in order to be redeemed, there has to be the ransom, the price paid. And so we have that in Matthew 20, verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Or he came not to be served, he came to be the servant. So he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom. Give his life a ransom for many. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now why is that so important? Because as the hymn writer said, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven. And let us in. There has to be a price paid to enter heaven. Now, it's free. Salvation is free for you and I. We don't pay the price. We never could. But there had to be a price paid. It was paid in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, it says, John, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. As it had been slain. And some have pointed out that the Greek there is the idea. It's as if the lamb has been newly slain. And what really it's bringing out is this. That though there's been a passage of time between Christ's death and John witnessing what he does in this vision on the Isle of Patmos, Christ still stands in glory as the one newly slain. That is, the blood of Christ has not lost any of its power. The vitality, the power of the work of Christ was then and still is today as potent as it was the moment Christ died. It was the great price paid. I think many of you are familiar with those words of 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You can't enter heaven by physical money. You can't enter heaven by religious riches. Tradition. What has redeemed us then? 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And as Christ then opened the seals in the book of Revelation, what is it showing? Well, it's certainly showing us this, that he is the one that has paid the price. He has paid the price. And so, as you look at those chapters in the book of Revelation, there are certainly many difficulties. But I want you to get hold of this. That Christ opened the seals. Because he paid the price. Therein is the gospel of our Savior. The payment has been made. And how then the redeemed sing with joy, he has redeemed us to God. The prerogative of the Redeemer, the payment by the Redeemer. I want to see, thirdly, the principality of the Redeemer. The principality of the Redeemer. What is the extent of what our Lord has purchased? As I've mentioned earlier, redemption in Scripture often relates to land. Boaz was to purchase that land that belonged to Elimelech. Leviticus 25 is all about that subject of the purchase of land by the Redeemer. Look again at Revelation 5 verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. Every tongue, every kindred, every people, every nation. The number four so often represents the earth. And so here it is. You have this fourfold emphasis. The gospel is to go to all the earth. Now, I did mention earlier
that the whole earth is going to be restored. The curse is going to be removed.
And in that sense, the domain of the Redeemer is all of creation. And that is going to be manifested then in the new heaven and the new earth.
But as I said, the emphasis here in this text is upon the people redeemed. People out of every kindred. People out of every tongue, every language group. Out of every people group, out of every nation. The principality is the whole earth. The gospel is to go to every nation. And that's why, of course, there is the missionary mandate. Now, you think of Mark 16:15.
Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And so Christ has authority over all of creation. All authority is given to him. And he says to his church then, go and teach all nations. We have a duty to those around us. And we have a duty to see those in lands beyond reach with the truth. Now, we can't all go, but we can certainly all pray. We can support that the gospel would indeed go to every nation, every tongue. That is our duty. But it is to be our delight. Because this is one way in which the Redeemer is honored. The Redeemer, the kinsman, is honored as his great domain is manifested. And we ought to lament then that the work of God in Australia has fallen in hard times. Because the kingdom of God is to be manifested in this way that the gospel impacts upon the nations, that lives are transformed. And may we come afresh then to the Lord and plead before him, Lord, work in this land, work in the nations of the earth. May the kinsman be honored. May there be this cry through the lands. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the one who has redeemed us to God by his blood. Again, if there's one and you're not converted, you're still not redeemed. You don't know the joy that it is to cry, I am redeemed. Would you not come to him tonight? Would you not come confessing, I am unworthy? Would you not come crying, woe is me? But praise God, there is the worthy Lamb. He has paid the price. Come and receive the great gift then of his salvation. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. Amen. We're going to close, please, with the words of the hymn 310. 310, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And may we sing out these words in joy as we praise God that we are redeemed. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. 310 will stand as we sing, please.
redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed. Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Child and forever I am. I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the Spirit's make perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.
Our gracious Father, how we thank Thee for that beautiful word, redeemed. We praise Thee for what the believer now is in Christ. We rejoice for what we shall be. And Lord, we pray that we will go from this place with joy in our hearts, rejoicing in the worthy kinsman redeemer. For any here without Thee, open their hearts to Thy gospel, we pray. We pray that they will be brought to see the awful bondage of their sin, but the great liberty then in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us in this week before us. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to bear forth Thy name to an unbelieving world. May we even be able to testify of the Lord's great redeeming grace. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.